Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Boy, oh boy, does it feel great to be back. I'm going to throw on some background lighting behind me, add to the ambiance. This is episode 189 of YWC Football Talk. I know I missed week 7 completely. There was no recap from week 6. There was no preview for week 7. I've been away. I apologize to all the listeners, all the viewers out there of my absence. But I want to address something about that. No, everything's okay. Everything's fine. I actually got a, not afraid to admit, a candle lighting, a nice little pumpkin, a vanilla pumpkin marshmallow. Yeah, come at me. I don't care. About where I was. Basically, life gets in the way sometimes. Obviously, there's obstacles you can't avoid. There's just some stuff that you got to overcome. And for me, it was work. I was on the road with work for all of last week, essentially. So by the time that it would have come around for me to record, the timing never worked out. I was in different time zones. I was traveling all over Canada for work. And then I had another trip on the weekend. So it was just basically the downtime that I had, I wanted to relax. I wanted to, you know, just catch up on myself, because sometimes you need to do that. I've never meant to take a break. I've never missed a week of the season since I started recording this almost 3 years ago. But I'm back now. This is going to be just this week, probably. If something else happens, hey, maybe we'll come in, we'll do another one. But for now, this is the one episode for this week. I'm just addressing that right now. We got all the same stuff. Danny's going to be here. I'm going to start, though, on the note of my hat. I'm going to start on Monday. I don't look at Monday as a downward spiral. I'm not hitting the panic button by any stretch of the imagination. The way I viewed Monday night's game was, look, it was a trap game. And when trap games come around, you got to be prepared for them. Look at the Buccaneers getting their asses kicked by the Carolina Panthers. Trap game. Look at, what's another good example of a trap game recently? Seattle versus Denver. Perfect examples. I know Denver now is, 2-5, but you guys get the point. When trap games come around, you lose them, but also too, I don't know what happened. I was feeling really confident all week going into this matchup. I thought, like, hey, maybe if they don't cover the 8.5, maybe they'll do something else. Maybe they'll come on here, fuck around, do something a little bit, fuck around, and maybe, you know, it'll be a closer game. It wasn't until like 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock where I really started getting weird feelings about this game. I was just like thinking to myself, huh. There was a little voice inside my head telling me, hey, tonight's, I had a weird feeling. Then the Bears jumped out to a 10-0 lead. The Patriots made the QB switch, goes back to 14-10. But then from there, the Bears took over. If there's quarterback controversy, I think we'll find out this week if the same thing happens against the Jets, which we'll be talking about. That game is coming up, obviously. Got myself here. Danny will be by shortly. I just wanted to start recording because I wanted to come on here and give my personal thoughts to you, even though, look, I did not want to play therapist to a Jets fan. Sorry, Danny. My whole thing with Monday was not one facet of the football was doing anything. Offensively, that was the offensive line's worst game of the season. Defense, I mean, Jesus Christ. There was the one play where Fields fumbled in the backfield and they could get away with it. And also, too, I feel like the Bears barely got any holding calls. And there was a lot of holding on guys like Matt Judon, who had a great game. Him and Ramondre Stevenson are the two guys who played well out of 53 on Tuesday. And then special teams, too. Jake Bailey's been really struggling this year to get the ball downfield, and that showed. But, look, the Bears were ready. The Bears were prepared. I'm not coming on here and saying that, like, yeah, one win's going to propel your season. But for a team like Chicago, that's a true confidence booster for them. As I stare at my rally towels from the Pats game that I went to. I'm not going to show these on camera, these bad boys, but still here, baby. Still here. Basically, I got two of them, so I basically fold it. So half looks like this, and then half, you see the game. This game right here is the Patriots team that we were missing. Obviously, look, the last I feel like Andy McNamara is never going to come on again when the Patriots play the Browns, because the last two times he's done it, the Browns have gotten their asses kicked. But basically, I'm not making any excuses. I'm not coming on here and saying that, like, oh, this team's going to be in a downward spiral. If they lose the next two to the Jets and the Colts, then I'll start to freak out when if 3-3 turns into 3-6 quickly going into their bye week. If they can salvage and go 1-1 over the next two games, go into the bye at 4-5, it's not ideal, but it's not awful. Because I always had this team pegged at 8-10 wins this year, and a success was, you know, getting into the playoffs, getting some momentum built, and then eventually, you know, maybe screwing around and getting into the playoffs, maybe winning a playoff game, getting to the divisional round. But the way the AFC is looking and the fact that they lost to a mediocre Chicago Bears team who just went out and traded Robert Quinn for nothing today, it was never our year. It never was. And the only other thing I'll say, too, is more than the Pats losing, and I know this is why we're such a hated team, is that when it's Bills fans and other fans that are taking enjoyment in your pain, Chicago fans were just happy to get the dub. And I was happy for them. I know some Bears fans. I was trying to get Tommy on here, but, like, look, everyone's busy. Everyone's got schedules. Life's getting back together. Because remember, when this podcast first started, no one was doing anything. So there was a little virus going around the world that basically shut us down. But now we're all back to normal. That's why, like, me, for example, with work, yeah, that came up. And our busy season's been the last month or so. So trying to find the time to record, create content, do the Dean Blundell stuff, and all this, plus the TikToks, too. Remember, October is still in effect for another few days. And then we go into November. November might be gimmicked. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. Plus, too, I'm just saying, like, it's you got to work things out. You got to work kinks out. But, yeah, that was a bit of a side off rant. As it goes for this game, though, I'm not panicking. If you're a Patriots fan, do not panic. You can be concerned. You can wonder why the defense plays so bad. Why was Justin Fields, Khalil Herbert, David Montgomery running wild when Nick Chubb was contained, when the Lions' high-powered offense got zero? It's just one of those things where any the end of everything with the game on Monday night, and I'm just here to say, as a Pats fan, I'm not ready to panic yet, but at the same time, too, we'll have to wait and see what happens over the next few weeks. It was just a bad game. That's all I'm going to say. But here's the part that I've been teasing as Danny just joins us. Here's the part that I've been teasing on Twitter. I said I wanted to wait till tonight to get the answer, and I'm kind of glad that I did. I'm also kind of glad that I waited to record this episode 48 hours removed from the bad. Why you might ask that is because you can be a little more level-headed. Emotions aren't running high. And that's where I stand on this question mark right here. For as bad as he may have played on Monday night, he still is QB1, and I still firmly believe that unless he's hurt, which today wasn't on the injury report, he's going to be the guy. It's going to have to take him playing really bad again. Like, say, if he comes out against the Jets and, I don't know, Sauce cooks up a couple interceptions, that's where I think you really start to invite a controversy in, and then who knows, bringing Sam Ehlinger and Bailey Zappe in a couple weeks. So that's what I just wanted to say with that. I'm still on the Mac train, but at the same time, too, I'm going to root for whichever guy gives us the best chance to win a football game. That's all I'm going to say about that. As we welcome Dan Goes Ham for Patriots-Jets rivalry week. It's week 8. Holy crap, we are already here. We're getting ready in the saddle. Danny's team, since he last spoke to us, 3 straight wins, beat the Dolphins, beat the Packers, beat the Broncos, the sorry-ass Broncos, and now it's a test for them because we all know that the Patriots' last defeat to the Jets was, I think, 2015. So this Correct. Is a game where we'll get into the game for a sec, but I just think this is a game that both teams are going to get up for. It's going to be good TV. And the other thing I'll say is, too, like we both agreed on this, Nance and Romo should be calling the game, not Ian Eagle and Charles Davis for as good as they are.
Well, thank God I'll be there live, so I really don't have to worry about that. But yeah, as far as watching the replay, I would have liked to see that for you know, the national game. But you know, it is what it is. Iron Eagle and Nance are good as well. Or Charles Davis. I'm sorry.
No, that's all good. Yeah, we got the second team. We got the second team up. We're moving right into this. Which this graphic right here, I don't know if you can see it. Well, yeah, you can see it. You don't have your camera on. Tampa Bay, Baltimore, -1.5. It literally just flipped right now. And I saw something on Twitter. It's the same John Irwin guy from BetMGM. That only 22% of the people are betting the Bucs to cover. This, to me, screams Tom Brady bounce back game. This just screams it out loud. It's prime time. It's his back's against the wall. And we know whenever his back's against the wall and people are kind of doubting him, that's when he rises up and reminds the world who he is.
Yeah, man. No, I don't know what would flip the line other than Gus Edwards not playing, because he looked awesome last week. And I think if they found a run game, because J.K. Dobbins hasn't been getting it done. He just doesn't look right coming off that ACL.
Yeah.
So if Gus isn't playing, yeah, I think that might have flipped the line. I know he was limited and stuff, but yeah, I mean, like you said, in history repeats itself, and Brady usually finds a way to turn it around. I don't know, man. They just don't look good right now. I mean, yeah, they should be able to get it together. They're way too talented, but it just looks like Brady's checked out, like we've been saying all year.
One other thing I actually want to mention to you right now about going back to the quarterback controversy, because this might be a bit of a hot take. I would rather have the Mac and Bailey situation than dealing with a decrepit Tom Brady under Bill Belichick, or like a slowly showing signs of vulnerability and maybe he's not this like ageless wonder. I'd rather see that, because I feel like it's like watching a relative slowly wear down. It's like watching, like, you know, anything in life, like whether it be like a relative, someone you know, an animal, slowly start to, you know, go down towards when eventually they go to the other, when they basically cross the rainbow, if you get what I mean. Like,
Of course. And like you say all the time, you know, Belichick gets rid of his guys a year too early rather than a year too late. So that's certainly how it's looking, but certainly you could have an extra ring out of it. So who knows? You could play both sides of it.
You could, but at the same time, too, I feel like you're going to be an expert on this. And I think people are getting reminded of how bad of a coach Todd Bowles truly was, especially with, like, we know from your Jets. You and I know, and Big Rat knows about Todd Bowles' head coaching history. But I feel like the rest of the NFL right now is slowly starting to realize, yeah, this guy's going to get fired. Like, I remember the 2018, like the game Todd Bowles got fired. His last game was at Gillette Stadium, which seems to be whenever a regular season ends at Gillette Stadium in recent memory, Adam Gase, then he got the axe, and then Todd Bowles. They were talking about it during the broadcast. Like, yeah, this is going to happen. Like, they're basically making it seem like he's already gone, but it was already the third quarter. But with him, though, he just plays it too conservatively. And with Tom Brady, you got to let him let it rip.
Yeah, man. I mean, like we say all the time, again, it's okay to be an elite coordinator, defensive or offensive, but be a terrible head coach. And again, we're just seeing it again. So that's all it is, man. He's just not cut out to be a head coach, it's looking like.
And for as good of a start as he started to get off to, I feel like we're kind of seeing the same signs with Mike McDaniel to an extent, where you got to have that killer instinct if you want to be a head coach. You can't make game decisions like you're a coordinator. That's one thing I wanted to say with that. But with
go ask Dan Campbell, going for it on every fucking fourth down against the Patriots, man.
That was I haven't spoken to you since, but my God, I was just like, you literally shot yourselves in the foot doing this. I'm like watching it the entire time, like, okay, I just didn't get it with him. But with this game, though, there's a couple of things from the gambling side that I like besides my fact thinking I think Tampa's gonna win. I like I like Mike Evans to have a bounce back game as well, and Mark Andrews, who was just completely unaware. And I say Mark Andrews for a reason, because if you go back and watch the film Carolina versus Tampa, Tommy Tremble had a wide open bomb touchdown from PJ Walker. I'm sorry. I think Mark Andrews, maybe not any time, but maybe Mark Andrews' first TD or Mike Evans, like, over in yards, I think it's at like 60 something. Seem like the play if you want to dabble in the player props for tomorrow. Right?
Yeah, I mean, never can go wrong with elite wide receivers or tight ends. I'm thinking more of on the sleeper side. Cade Otton, the tight end from the Buccaneers, has looked a lot better than Cameron Bray. Should have had a touchdown last week.
Yeah.
I think he could definitely score. And, I mean, Tampa looked really bad against the running defense of the Panthers, who literally have nothing. Literally, Chuba Hubbard and Dante Foreman went off against them. So if Gus is in, man, I'm riding that Gus bus all the way.
Choo-choo. I don't know. I did like the truck horn, but I did. And then Chris Godwin, too, has been another guy that's just been quiet all year. I know he's been hurt. I'm not sure if he – I think he's still in the IR, but, like, I feel like that's – you're just waiting for him to get back. But at the same time, too, with the Buccaneers, when it comes to, like, just overall fantasy or, like, player prop bets, it's always just up and down with these guys. Like, for all we know, Mike Evans can come out, sneeze, and then he has a two-touchdown game. But at the same time, too, if you're asking for more safer bets with the props, I'm going to lean towards Baltimore. Like, you know – even if you want to go dabble in, like, the Rashard Bateman touchdown even, too, I feel like that would be something good to do as well.
Yeah, no, for sure. And they owe us some some chalk players to score. Chalk means, like, obvious, you know, in these Thursday games. Because it's just been – it's been a struggle, man. All Thursday, man. Every Thursday game is a struggle. It's just, like, the obvious guys aren't scoring. There's injuries. So let's get a game where, you know, everyone wins this time.
Exactly. I mean, also as well, I don't know if you dabble in prize picks, but it could be worse than yesterday's Bradley Beal over in points and he gets hurt during the game, which people were pissed off about. But with this game overall, I'm riding with the Buccaneers. I just think this is a bounce back game for them, and which will lead to, are the Bucs back to being a serious Super Bowl contender? It's kind of like, guys, chill. It's like the same people that were calling Bailey Zappi, like the whole like Drew Bledsoe, Tom Brady stuff. I was just like, guys, let's just stop it. But the only other thing I'll say, too, is when I look at the whole stuff for tomorrow night, I like the over. Baltimore's been able to score. Tampa's defense has been – wait, actually, no, I'm going to avoid that as a total because I just remember Tampa can't score. Tampa's been ineffective at scoring except for the Kansas City game, and that was when already they were losing. So I'll say over, but, like, I just can't trust Tampa right now, so I'm going to stay from it. But it's just something that came across my mind.
Yeah, like I said, man, I think we're due some points for these Thursday night games. They've been a fucking complete snooze fest. So I think the over is a fine play, honestly. I don't think both defenses are that great. I think you can move the ball against both defenses. And, you know, if Lamar gets it going on the ground, opens up things for the pass game. So I think we could see an easy over.
I think so, too. It's just also like with last week's, too, is easy because you have to remember it was two Big 12 defenses going up against each other in the NFL. I actually have an over I really love, which we'll get into after this game, because it's the second last game of the season where you have to watch Russell Wilson stand alone. It's the second last game in the 9:30 time slot. I was going to say there's still three more international games. We've got the Mexico one coming up in a few weeks. I feel you put this in my head, and I'm going with you on it. I just think this is a spot where Denver comes back. I think this is just a game where – I'm not saying they're making the playoffs or anything, but I think this is a spot where they win and, you know, all that talk comes down because it's the whole, you know, when a coach's job is on the line, the Bradley Chubb trade rumors coming up out of nowhere, Jerry Jeudy's name – well, effectively he's been – like his – he's just not – he has not been the same Jeudy we saw in Alabama. For some reason, I like the Broncos in this spot.
No, I love the Broncos in this spot. That defense is elite, man. If they can just get anything from that offense, they'll be fine in this game. I know playing in Mile High is a lot different than playing in London, but I was so damn impressed with that defense, man. Like they had a chance to win that game with Brett Rypien, which is insane. Who actually didn't look bad last week, but. As far as the Jaguars go, like what's going on with that franchise, man? Like you're in year 3-4 of that rebuild. What is it, year 2 of Trevor Lawrence, man? You picked back-to-back number one picks, and you still just look terrible. You just look like you have no direction, man. You just gave us James Robinson for free. I know ECN has looked good, but just to give up on James like that is insane. I know a lot of Jaguars fans weren't happy about that.
The term a lot of Jaguars fans exists out there? Jesus Christ, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I mean, I had to look into James, you know, and I was, yeah, they have a big community, surprisingly. But, you know, they're looking at 2-6 here, I think. I think this is an easy, easy Denver win, comfortable. The Jaguars just, I don't know, man. I would be ashamed if I was Trent Baalke right now. I don't know how he has a job.
Here's the thing, though, with Trent Baalke. I don't know if you heard about this, but you know how him and Jim Harbaugh's time came to a rough end in San Francisco?
Yeah.
Apparently the rumor at the draft time was that Trent Baalke took Trayvon Walker to spite Michigan, and even though I still think it should have been Aiden Hutchinson going number one overall, I think sometimes, you know what, some people are just that petty that they'll do something stupid like that.
Should have been Sauce Gardner, honestly. But no, I mean, if that's true, then yikes. I don't know. I mean, it's still early, but he's definitely not a day one impact player. I think he has like 2 sacks on the season.
I mean, yeah, like the two best defensive rookies so far have been Sauce Gardner and Jack Jones, but that's just me. That's just me. I think both guys are playing.
Tyron Woolen too, man.
Yeah,
for the Seahawks, balling out too.
Yeah, that we'll get to that in a little while. But yeah, like for this, it's just Denver. I look at that over under, and I'm like, I think this game could go over and just be like that. You know those games where people think you're gonna be flat out boring, but then actually something happens. But at the same time, too, I don't think Denver's hit an. Wait, actually, no. They only hit an over once, and that was Week 4 against the Raiders, a game that Big Rat famously called on here that the Raiders were going to win because their backs were against the wall. Moving on, first thing I'm going to say before I say anything else about who I think is going to win, this is my, like, part of Locktober, give me over 48.5 points in this game. I think both offenses are just going to fly with the ball.
Is it double XP weekend? I think the new Call of Duty comes out, actually.
It does.
is that next week?
No, I think it's tomorrow, actually.
Oh, no. Kyler's going to get a head start. Oh, God.
That's why he won last week, because he wanted to get home and play it early on campaign. I'm just looking it up right now. Jesus Christ, video games are expensive now. I haven't bought a video game in a long time, but it's...
Yeah, they're up to like 70 now.
Dude, I'm seeing $89.99 Canadian, which... Jeez. Yeah. Oh, I just got to look at this release date just to confirm. Yeah, tomorrow. The video game literally comes out October 27th, 2022. We are recording this on October 26th.
Yeah, that's a scoop. That is a scoop, Skull, man.
Give me Skull Vikings on this game.
I did like the Cardinals too, man. But I think that legit might change things. I don't know. We'll see. Yeah, the Vikings, I can't believe they're 5-1, man. That's insane. They're just, you know, they're just winning right now. They're not great or anything. I think they're, you know, not really a serious threat to win a Super Bowl. But, you know, got to give them credit. Kevin O'Connell got the team 5-1. They look great. And the Cardinals do not.
I view the Vikings in the same view as I view the Giants, where I'm like, is your stuff, like, long-term successfully going to be an impact? Or I still don't think you'll be a contender come January, but – I look at them like, hey, you've gotten your stuff done. You've lost one game the entire year. I had the Giants at 6-11 this year, so that's another thing too. And the Vikings,
we both did, yeah.
We both did. And then the Vikings are just a team where, what was I going to say? You're making it work. It's like Jacksonville. Basically, the cliche that I hear a lot, it's like when you throw shit at a wall and you're expecting it to stick, but it falls. It's stuck for Minnesota, but it's falling for Jacksonville. But with this game, I just like that over because, look, for as bad as Arizona can be, especially on a double XP weekend, both teams can put up points, and I don't really trust either defense. That's the thing, too, because, like, yeah, sure, the Cardinals do have the good secondary, but at the same time, too, Andy Dalton, throughout all of his mistakes, still put up 34 on them. So what's stopping Kirk Cousins from doing that?
Yeah, no, and especially – no, you're right, no.
Yeah, that's the thing. And also,
I don't have much on this game, honestly.
I don't either. It's just the over. The only other take, and I'm starting to believe this, I know we got extended this year. I think if Michael Bidwell can find a way to get out of it, I think Cliff Kingsbury and Steve Keim's days are numbered in Arizona, and they only gave them that extension so that they could lock up Kyler long-term.
Oh, yeah, and I remember the fight between Kyler and Cliff last Thursday. That was funny. So, yeah, no, if they don't make the playoffs, they should be both gone. But we'll see how they operate from there.
For anybody who wants to see it, go listen to my interview from earlier this offseason with Alex Clancy from Locked On Cardinals, or go look at Steve Keim's draft history since 2013. It is truly terrible. shameless plug. Detroit versus Miami. The way I look at this game, Miami's another team where I feel like their hot start got negated. I feel like them beating Buffalo – So back to Arizona. So you remember 2 years ago how there was that famous Arizona-Buffalo game and Hop caught the Hail Mary?
Yeah.
And after that, like, Buffalo season skyrocketed. They didn't lose to the AFC Championship game, and then the Cardinals just went down a slippery slope.
Yep.
I feel like Miami's been in the same boat. Tua injury aside, I feel like them beating Buffalo was, like, their peak of their season so far. Because if you look at the rest of the results for October, like, obviously, like I said, injury aside – Cincinnati game, like, they didn't fare well. You guys handled them. and then they lost to Minnesota, and then on Sunday, if there was a quarterback better than Kenny Pickett in there, I'm sorry, but the Pittsburgh Steelers win that football game. So with this game right here, I'm not saying that Detroit's going to win it, but I don't think it's going to be an easy dub for the Dolphins.
For me, I'm looking at this. I see it as a get-right spot for the Dolphins, man. I just don't think the Detroit Lions have anything on defense to stop, like, Tyreek and Waddle. And even Raheem Mostert should have a very nice day. I don't know. I just don't believe in Detroit at all. I think Dan Campbell should be fired. You guys know I was never really a fan of his. Give me the Dolphins big, honestly.
You do know that ever since, obviously Dan Campbell took over from Miami in that one season. He's won more games there in one season than he has in 2 years with the Detroit Lions. He's won 4 games total. I feel like the Detroit Lions it was like Big Rat said, that cute hard knock story that people like wanted to buy into them. Mm-hmm. I'm going to show the flag again, but after this right here, I was like, this team sucks. Like, they could not tackle. Ramondre Stevenson ran for, I think, 160 yards on them. The only thing I like about them is the fact that they have some, like, they've been hurt, but like they have some offensive weapons, but like those were neutralized, and they have a really good offensive line. Besides that, there's nothing there. I feel like eventually I've said this all offseason, the Dan Campbell, like, nostalgia biting kneecap or mystique or I you may say nostalgia, but the mystique of Dan Campbell mixed with the breaking kneecap metaphors and, you know, just the hard crust, like, we're Detroit, we're gritty, we don't have any primetime games, we don't care, even though you'd rather be in the Thanksgiving slot. That has to wear off eventually, and I feel like if they get their asses kicked by the Dolphins and go 1-6, it's going to be, we're back to the bottom. You remember, they still have 2 picks. I think it's, if anything, though, I could see him staying this year, but the next year is a year where they have to show some signs of life for him to keep his job.
I actually dabbled a little bit on the Detroit community just because I was looking up Aiden Hutchinson and how he was doing, and a lot of fans weren't happy with him. But it was more so about fans in Detroit really can't stand, and they're over Dan Campbell. They want him gone now. They just see nothing that shows that he's going to be the guy, which he looks completely unqualified, honestly, from what I've seen. You know, especially that New England game, man. That was just an embarrassment, bro. So there's been no progress with that team. It's a lot more talented than it was. And as far as that goes, you know, you're probably going to be picking a brand new quarterback next year. Just, you know, reset the button, man, and, you know, just go from there.
I wanted to go up to the Detroit fans and ask them, like, how do you do this? Because they were Detroit fans, and, like, there was a lot of Aiden Hutchinson jerseys, but, like, there was a lot of Staffords, a lot of Calvin Johnsons, a lot of Barry's. Actually, I saw Barry Sanders' Oklahoma State jersey at the game. But I like another one to go up to them and be like, how do you do this? And even to, I may have shouted to a couple of them, you'll enjoy CJ Stroud, don't worry about that, or Bryce Young. But I just look at Detroit and I'm like, I don't know how you do this year in and year out. That's my thing, where it's just like, it's just a revolving door of mediocrity. And I feel like if they want to be a serious player, don't go out and get like a coach where it's going to be an experiment. You got to get someone that's either proven, or you have to go get like a D'Amico Ryans from San Francisco, who's going to be a head coach next year.
Yeah, man. Trust me. There's even Eric Bieniemy is a 10 times better of a candidate than Dan Campbell is right now, man.
I don't
think he should get hired either. I'm not saying that. But
2 things with the Eric Bieniemy thing. When one's involving Kansas City, I think Eric Bieniemy is not taking jobs because I think he's waiting to become Andy Reid's successor in Kansas City one day. The other is, don't be shocked that if in a few years Matt Nagy somehow plays his role back up and gets another head coaching job and then gets fired like 2 to 3 years into that head coaching job for a mediocre team. Just saying. Like what Todd Bowles did. I have a take for you, and I don't like this take. I know everyone in the AFC in the NFC is like really sold in on the Eagles. I think there's a real chance that this could be Dallas's year. I think their defense is just really good. I think if you can get – you don't have to get stellar QB play out of Dak, but if you can get either league average or above from him, this could be a team to really watch out for.
Well, what I want to see now is I think Zeke just went down with the MCL injury, and now Pollard is going to take over, and I think he's a lot better than Zeke. So if Pollard just really gets going here and, like, you know, doesn't give that job back to Zeke, that's going to help them even more on offense. You know, like you just said, the defense already looks elite. So I'm looking forward to that. We'll see that this week. So, but yeah, no, you're definitely not wrong, bro. The Eagles really haven't played too many. Who have they played, honestly?
They played the Lions, who they almost lost to. They played the Vikings. They've played, fuck, what else did they play? I think they played Washington. They played Arizona. They played Dallas. And then there's someone else. I'm blanking on their week four opponent.
Yeah, so they haven't really been.
Jacksonville.
Yeah, they haven't been tested much. I mean, they played Dallas with Cooper, whatever.
Cooper Rush. And then the next time they play Philly is Dallas, Philly go together is week 16, Christmas Eve. And that's going to be a true, true test for where both teams are going into January because we know both teams are going to be in January.
Yeah, I don't know. I know they picked up Robert Quinta. That's pretty huge for them. But I still need to see more from Jalen Hurts, man, especially in a diversity. You know, they've usually just built up a lead and cruised, you know, and they haven't had to deal with any adversity for the most part. So once they start seeing these realer teams, we'll find out who they really are. But, you're not wrong.
This might sound salty, but at the same time, too, I think this is pretty realistic. I think this is a Dallas Cowboys ass-whipping because I think a lot of people are going to look at the Chicago +9 and be like, oh, they just did it on Monday night. They'll surely do it again, and then they get ran out of the building. Like what happened with Denver-Seattle week one. You know how everyone was on Seattle to beat Denver? Yep. They did. Next week, they went to San Francisco, and they just got there. I think they lost by like 21 or something like that. I think this very similar thing can happen here, especially the fact, too, that we now know, okay, yeah, the Bears are in sell mode, and don't be shocked if Roquan Smith's traded in the next week because the deadline is on Tuesday. But I think this is that game there. And also, too, not saying – obviously for right now, the Dallas defense is playing better than the New England defense, but they limited Detroit to do absolutely nothing. Detroit scored 6 points against them, and I just think this is going to be a long day if you're a Bears fan. I think it's kind of like, you know what, enjoy Monday. You guys deserved it. But for this Sunday, I think it's not going to be easy. I think this is a game where Dallas can really put their footprint on and be like, you know, we're a threat. We're a legit team. The only other thing I want to say about Dallas is, though, you got to get CeeDee Lamb going. He's only got 2 touchdowns on the entire season.
Yeah, got to get CeeDee going. This might be a big spot for him. But like I said, man, I want to see Pollard get going, bro. That's the guy I'm looking at this week.
He was a good fantasy pickup, and he's only making $960K. So I think I said, like, my big take for 2021 with Dallas was that Amari Cooper was going to be a cap cut. I think not a cut, but I think they trade Zeke to get rid of the cap for next year.
Would be smart.
Moving on right here. This game I look at, and I'm like, first of all, I love the over because I watched the Saints first. I watched the Saints last Thursday night. They can't tackle. They still manage to score points. I don't know who's a quarterback this week, but with them, it's just like – also, too, their play calling is disgustingly terrible. Pete Carmichael is horrible at his job. I think the more they lose, I think like it's going to be a full carousel, full house cleanup in New Orleans. But with Vegas, their fan, I've seen a couple of like some Raider Nation being like, this is going to be they're going to magically go from like 1-4, win 7 in a row, and end up at 8-4. I think the Raiders are who I thought they were all offseason. They were going to be the one team from the AFC West to be bad. Obviously, Denver's bad. But I just think with the Raiders, I think this is a potential letdown spot for them.
Yeah, dude. I was really, really hoping Jameis would get in there this week with Lattimore and Michael Thomas because I was staring at that Saints +750 to win the division. They're only one game back of Tampa, and Tampa might lose tomorrow. So I was really staring at that. I think they could win that division, but I just can't get behind the way Andy Dalton, bro. I don't know, man. That guy just gives me no hope. Olave looks great. But like you said, man, the Saints have problems. They went all in this year, man. They gave up their draft pick, so they have to win. They have to try to get into the playoffs. They can't just let it mail it in and tank. So.
Because if not, you also said this too, their cap situation. They keep putting their cap money back, and eventually you got to pay for the bill. It's like putting off a credit card bill. You're trying to say, oh, I'll pay off next month, and the debt just keeps collecting and collecting and collecting. Eventually you got to come home and you're going to have to make some cuts that are not going to benefit your football team. I still feel like them cutting trading Gardner Johnson was a bit of a mistake. I feel like he was a true piece of their secondary because Tyrann Mathieu's done nothing for them this year. Their best asset so far has been their defensive line. But when I look at this, the Raiders defense and the Saints defense are the exact same. They can do really well in run blocking, but pass protection, there's nothing there to look at where you look at it like shiny. Like Houston put 20 up on them, and if Houston could put 20 up on them, this is another game where I like the over. I like over 49.5 points.
Yeah, but yeah, for sure, definitely. And especially Josh Jacobs too, man. That guy's been balling out on the contract here, bro. He's been carrying the Raiders. So I mean, if he gets going like he should. Also, look at Josh Jacobs for another futures bet, plus 600 to be the rushing leader on the year. He's only less than 100 yards behind Chubb and Barkley, and both of them haven't had a bye yet. So he can definitely inch that gap for sure.
If you also look at the Raiders' schedule too, it is easy. They have like Denver again. They have Indy. They have Seattle. And there's someone else in there, but they do have it really easy. So that's why I think Raider fans are getting there. But I just think that the Raiders are a team that you can always count on to let you down. That's all. Fuck, I don't have really anything to say about this game. I'm taking Atlanta to cover the spread. I think this is not a get-right game for the Falcons, but it's weird to think the Falcons could be 4-3. But at the same time, too, I think last week, like the Chicago Bears, the Carolina Panthers, that was just a one-time thing. I don't think you're going to see the PJ Walker Panthers come out week after week and blow people up. Bad fun fact, but in 2 weeks, this game's Thursday Night Football.
Wow. I mean, when I was last on here, actually, I said either this Panthers team is going to just quit on Matt Rhule and he's going to get fired, which is what they did. And now with this new – I don't know the new coach's name, the interim.
Steve Wilkes.
Seems like they really like him and they're playing very hard for him. So you kind of see like a little rejuvenation of them, you know. And it's a division game, bro. I don't think Atlanta's that great. So 4.5, I would take the 4.5. I'm not saying they win. But I think they're going to play hard, and I don't think Atlanta is that much better. They're better, but they're not that much better. I think it will be a closer game.
It's just weird to think that Atlanta's 3-4 right now. Like, I thought Atlanta would be, like, you know, basement of the NFC. They've managed to play some decent football, but, you know, I was on Atlanta -4.5, but I think last week we kind of saw the true version of the Atlanta Falcons. So I wouldn't be totally shocked that if Atlanta did have another letdown here. And no, I'm not saying lose, but you know what? I like this to be a 3-point game. I like this to be a very low scoring game. I don't think anything exciting happens in this game either. Because look, even though they blew them out, the Carolina Panthers only put 21 up against the 21 up against the Bucs, and the Falcons, it's the same thing. So I could see like, I don't know, like a 17-14 kind of game.
Yeah, I mean, no, totally, man. I mean, look, DJ Moore got going, Dante Foreman looked good. Chuba Hubbard looked good, and that's against the Buccaneers. So the Falcons' defense is nowhere close to what they are.
Exactly. And I'm not going to save it for last. But we're getting into this. This is going to be a long one. New England.
Let's get it.
Patriots are going to the New York Jets. Patriots are -2. Over-unders at 40.5. Before I give the mic over to you, I have one thing to say about this game. This game is going to come down to two things, in my opinion. Quarterback play and offensive line play.
Yeah, of course. No, definitely. I smell blood in the water, Griff. I smell blood in the water. And trust me, Salah is putting it all over the locker room this week that you guys ran up the score on us last week and how you've controlled the division and we haven't beat you since 2015. This is the first time since – damn, I saw the stat today. But we haven't went into a game against New England leading the division against you guys in like 20-something years, bro, I believe it was. So we're getting up for this game, bro. Even though we were shot in the foot against Denver, man, we lost fucking Breece Hall and Elijah Vera Tucker. Two brutal, catastrophic blows. I cannot underestimate that enough, man. But, you know, Joe Douglas straight up the next day went and traded for James Robinson, who is a very underrated back. You know that, I know that, very productive back. So he's telling the team, he's sending a clear message, you know, get it together, bro. We're going for this thing. You're right. Zach Wilson needs to win this game. Absolutely needs to win this game. Training wheels need to come off. We need to test that secondary. Justin Fields just did it. I don't want to hear no excuses, man. I feel like with Belichick, he's going to zone in on what you don't do your best. So he's going to bring the blitz a lot, and we need to expect that. We need to have a lot of blitz beaters and beat them that way. And then just play defense, man. You got Mac Jones, who's going to be starting, who's going to be in his own head all game about not making a mistake. So he's going to be extra careful, and that could, you know, lead to he's not going to play free. Obviously, he's going to be trying to not hit the home runs and stuff like that and just take the dink and dunks. So as long as we can hold him in check, bro, I think the first team to score 20 points wins this game.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a very similar game to the Steelers-Patriots game from a few weeks from week two, or even the game when you guys played against the Steelers. You know, just it's going to come down to just the basic fundamentals of football. It's going to come down to the basic that, like, there. I jokingly said on Twitter the other day that Bill was going to move into second place all time, and Miguel kind of went at me for it, but I really was just trying to, A, soften the blow of what I was experiencing, and B, knowing that Bill Belichick, too, also gets up for the Jets games just because of his history there as well. It's also going to come down to how guys like Quinnen Williams and Matthew Judon play. If Quinnen Williams can have his day with the Patriots O-line, or if Matt Judon can have his day with the Jets O-line, it's going to be a long day. I will applaud the Joe Douglas move to get James Robinson, because that's a move that shows that, hey, I'm here to fix things. I'm here to make sure that we are a winner. That's a trade that you make when you want to do something. And the fact that he barely gave up anything for it also shows, like, a little bit of incompetency on Jacksonville's part, but B, the fact that he's willing to make that move to replace him. More than him, I think this is more of a spot, too, where Michael Carter can shine to truly be that RB1 to kind of, you know, show his own, because last year he never really got too many opportunities to do it. It's also going to come down to how guys like Garrett Wilson play, how Sauce Gardner plays, how will Mac be able to get the ball to, like, Devontae Parker, Jacoby Myers. The one big blow for the Patriots, though, is I know David Andrews this week. That's going to be a big, big blow for them. He's out with a concussion this week. I don't know if you saw the interception. It was just like, that pissed me off more than anything in the game, because that was just an unnecessary play that got someone hurt. The player for the Bears did get ejected from the game, though. But when it all comes said and done, this is just a game where which quarterback fucks up the least. That's what it is. Because if I don't like to use the expression, this is how a team lost a game, not won a game. But I think the loser of this game, it's going to feel it more, because if a loss here for either team, even though one team's 3-4 and one's 5-2, I think a loss can do more damage to either side than people think, no matter who it is. Even if it's my team, if it's your team, that's just how I view this.
Yeah, this is a franchise-altering game for the Jets, honestly. As crazy as that sounds, but to be in the spot where New England's desperate and we can just put our foot on their necks and kill them pretty much for their season, you know, I think that can, like, completely shift the momentum of this season, which, you know, obviously positive vibes are already starting to happen. But, you know, if we do that, bro, I think it just gives us another level of confidence going into the rest of the year to make this playoff push. But we'll see, man. I mean, usually the Jets fold here, notoriously. It's going to be on Zach, bro. It's going to be on Zach. You know, losing Breece Hall was like putting my dog down. You know, that one really hurt, bro. And then to follow it up, no one thought Elijah Vera Tucker's injury was serious either. And then we find out we lose him for the rest of the year. So, I mean, the team is balling, bro. Let me give them their credit. Last time I was on here against Miami, I didn't know. You know, I talked my shit a little bit, but, you know, props to the Jets, bro. Nobody saw this coming at all. And that defense is truly elite, bro. I couldn't be more happier with the defense and Salah turning that around. So props to Salah, props to the Jets. Let's see it from Zach Wilson now, because everyone's on his ass right now.
Sauce Gardner's played great. Quinnen Williams is playing for a bag this year. He's been just wrecking people and wrecking the playoff.
DJ Reed was probably the signing of the offseason, honestly.
Yeah, and because Robert Saleh is a coach that guys get up for. The only thing I'm going to say for the Patriots, though, is if they do go 3-5, I don't think it's season-crushing, because I can foresee them beating the Colts next week. And if they go into the bye at 4-5, and then, you know, say if they get one back, and then in 3 weeks when you guys come to Foxborough, if they go into Thanksgiving at 5-5, I still think they're in a position to where they can potentially make a run. But with that being said, and I don't know how to feel about this, but I think this is the game the Jets get. I think, you know, like they said, they're getting up for it. It's a game where you can truly, truly, you know, show the NFL world who you are. And at the same time, too, I don't think you need a loss. I think a loss will hurt you guys more because of what you got next week coming into your building.
Yeah, man. I mean, MetLife's going to show up. I know that stadium's going to be loud. Like I said, bro, we just got to zone in on Mac.
Yeah, it's just 60 minutes of football. Wish you guys nothing but the best. But let the best man win on Sunday.
Let's get it, man.
I wanted to take the Steelers to cover the spread here, but I thought about it and I'm like, no, it's not happening. I think, like I said, I think with Sunday night, Miami-Pittsburgh, I think Miami put Pittsburgh in a situation to win the game and they just didn't. Philly off a bye in Philly with what's going on down the walkway from them at Lincoln, not Lincoln Financial, at Citizens Bank Park. I mean, I wish Philly's going to, I haven't checked the score recently, but hopefully loses tonight. But on Sunday, this could be a long day if you wear black and yellow. Don't know if he's there. I was just saying some stuff about the Pittsburgh-Philly game. Which, by the way, folks, this is the game Jim Nansen. Oh, he's still there.
Oh, my bad, yeah.
Yeah, basically, I was just saying this right here. There's a part of me that wanted to take the Steelers plus 10, but I thought about it, and I'm like, no, I'm taking the Pittsburgh. I'm taking Philly minus 10.
Yeah, I think that Sunday night loss was crushing for the Steelers, man. Like, they really had a shot, and then to see them just fold like that, I think that's going to hurt the team a lot. So, I mean, Philly's just rolling right now. I'm sure they'll just continue to roll here. Not much really to say about this one.
That, and also, too, I think, like I said this earlier before you went away, the Steelers lost that game because Miami did not play good on Sunday night. Miami gave them opportunities to win. The Steelers just didn't capitalize on them. So that's why I think here, and also let's not forget, too, that a few weeks ago the Steelers got their asses handed to them by the Buffalo Bills.
I'm having connection problems.
Okay, I've talked about it. I'll vamp if I have to. This game right here, for some reason, is at 4:05. I don't know why. I don't know who's going to watch this game. But, man, I think last week with Tennessee, I think was more of a, you know, Indianapolis is bad, Matt Ryan is cooked. Which, I mean, they pulled the plug on that completely. That was just not even a gentle thing. It was just, yeah, he's done. He's done. Like, I think, oh, my God. And I felt so bad because I was one of those guys, too, where I was like, man, Indy's going to win the division. Jonathan Taylor's going to have a great year. Michael Pittman Jr. finally has a good quarterback to throw to. Taylor's been hurt. Pittman's been okay this year. And Matt Ryan just, it's not been pretty. But we'll get to the Colts in a bit. But with this game right here, I just want to take the Titans because we're finally starting to see that, yeah, the Texans are truly a bad team and that Davis Mills just is a placeholder.
Yeah, I mean, not really much to say about this one. King Henry is just going to go off. Probably see 150 and two touchdowns from him in this game. Houston can't stop the run whatsoever. Not exciting. I don't know. Trash division.
If I had told you that this game right here, week one, this would be the only game this week to feature both teams above 500, what would you have said?
I'll say you're crazy, bro. I would say you are crazy.
That's where we are. Both teams are above 500. Both teams are like at the top of their divisions right now, actually. Like I think the Seahawks are winning the West right now, actually. But man, I'm not gonna eat crow on this, but I'll give credit where credit's due with the Giants, but I still have doubts because I know they've been hurt. But I still need to see Daniel Jones go win a game on his own. I need him to make those clutch time, you know, passes and everything like that. I feel like more than anything, their defense has been the backbone in that. And also, too, everything's gone through Saquon Barkley. But if you truly, truly, truly want to buy me in as you're a winning team, your quarterback's got to, A, throw for over 200 yards more consistently no matter who the weapons are, and B, go win a game on his own.
Yeah, I thought he played really well against Jacksonville. I watched that game. It's just the Dable's got him on the move, man. And that's really what's doing it is those rollouts and, you know, that dual threat between Saquon and him. So, and, you know, he had some shit downfield to Slayton and stuff like that. So, and Wandale Robinson's look good. So, I'll give them their props. They're a solid team. They're good. They're not bad like I thought they were. Are they contenders? No. But as far as the Seahawks goes, they got a little Legion of Boom forming again, man. Late round fucking draft picks. So both their corners are balling. Their defense is doing pretty good. Geno's absolutely balling right now. So I think the Giants are due to lose. So I'm gonna take Seattle on the money line. But yeah, man, no, we'll see.
Give me a Hawks win, but give me a Giants cover. How about that one? I think this is a game where I'm only saying this too because I think the travel more than anything. And one other thing with Seattle too, I want to point out is Kenneth Walker III has been a great running back for them this year so far. I think Pete Carroll finally has his stud running back. And at the same time too, I think John Snyder made up in the Russell Wilson trade for what he lost in the Jamal Adams trade.
Oh yeah, for sure. No, definitely, bro.
Because remember, you were on your high horse forever about that one, about how you could – well, yeah, that was just a fleece job by Joe Douglas, but at the same time, it helped you guys rebuild. I believe those were the picks that became Garrett Wilson and Vera Tucker, which both those injuries were terrible, by the way. Both will lose Breece Hall in that. I haven't seen the whole Breece Hall people comparing dropping Breece Hall from their fantasy teams to putting a dog down as well, which is more bit of an example of that as is. I can understand it because Breece Hall has been a guy this year. But with Seattle, with this game – I trust Seattle more at home because they're that team that you don't expect anything from. Look, they just ran the Chargers out of the gym last week. And at the same time, too, like you said, Seattle's – the Giants are that team that if they lose or if they lose bad, it's going to be – it's over for them. The Giants are terrible. Why did we buy into them? But in reality, they're making it work. I just think that the Giants – the Giants have had a bit of a softer schedule as well. So I feel like once they start playing, like remember, they still got to play the Eagles twice. So those are the tests right there. And then the Dallas Cowboys on Thanksgiving. If they can hang and tough in those three games or win one or two of those games, you'll buy my confidence in your team. But if you go 1-3 in those games, I'm sorry, I can't do it, especially if there's teams in your division that are single-handedly beating you.
Yeah.
Yeah. But besides that, I got nothing else to say about that game. This game right here, though, it was the same bet a few weeks ago for me. Allen Robinson fucked me over in my parlay. I'm taking San Francisco in this game because we all know that San Francisco just wins these games for some reason.
Yeah, me too. I think McCaffrey, we finally get to see him know the playbook as well as he can. He'll be utilized on third downs here. I still don't think the Rams are good. And yeah, man, no, I think San Francisco takes it.
That's all I gotta say, but I gotta do some. There's one thing I really have to do before our next game. So, folks, just hold on for a second, okay?
Longhorn Nation, we're back.
Because Sam Ellinger's world we're living in, folks. That's from the 2019 Sugar Bowl game against when Texas beat Georgia, and Bevel the Bull nearly killed the Bulldog. Indianapolis versus Washington. Why this game is in the 4 o'clock window and ours isn't is beyond me. I think people were expecting the whole Carson Wentz return saga, and instead we're getting Sam Ellinger versus Taylor Heineke. And the only thing I have to say about this game is hold your breath and take that under.
Oh yeah, man. Just two total question marks, man. I don't know what to expect from Ellinger at all. Heineke looked good last week, but we know what he is.
I know I did it short, but I took the football team to cover that game, the Commanders to cover that game, excuse me.
Yeah, just I don't know, man. Give me who's plus money? The Washington?
Yep.
Yeah, give me Washington +3. Two bad teams.
This is either – also, I think this is a potential Frank Reich get fired game. I think this could be because if he makes this move and announces he's our starter for the rest of the year and then he goes out there, especially in the 425 slot, where I know it's still regional, but when you're an Eastern team in the 425 slot, I feel like people still pay attention to you, even though LA-San Fran is the game that's going to be nationally televised. If they get embarrassed in this game – it's a bad week ahead. That's why I think that the Patriots can beat this team as well next week. But we'll get into next week. For now, this is this week, and I'm going with you. Washington +3 and under 40. Sunday night football here. My question for you, Danny, do the Packers cover or do the Packers get their ass kicked? Like for as good as the Bills are, I just
– nah, they're getting their ass kicked. they're going to get smoked. Buffalo is just going to toy with them. They're not good. I think this team's starting to quit a little bit. And I think Aaron Rodgers is just trying to hold it together as much as he can. But it's just, they're not talented enough, man. So give me the Bills big.
This team, also fun fact, I'm going to be down in Buffalo this weekend on Saturday for a hockey game. And if you're asking me why am I not staying for the football game, it's because the cheapest ticket to get in for this game is at like $400. I think that has to do with three things. One, the fact that it's Sunday night football. Two, the fact that the Packers travel well and they make ticket prices increase because they know Packer fans are going to come in. And three, why do I want to watch a game with a team that I do not like versus a team I just simply don't care about? So I'm going to the Sabres-Blackhawks game on Saturday night. But who knows? Maybe you'll see me from Highmark Stadium on Saturday. Danny, I want to ask you a fun fact. When was the last time that the Buffalo Bills hosted a Sunday night football game with fans? Because they hosted one 2 years ago, but that was with COVID, so no one could go.
Oh, I couldn't even tell you, bro. Tyrod Taylor days, Rex Ryan?
2007, it was the Patriots and the Bills, and the Patriots beat them 56-10. So I take a little bit of solace in that. Just throwing it out there. I for some reason I want to be like Packers can cover this, but I feel like this is a game where if Josh Allen can go out there and kick the shit out of Aaron Rodgers, this is a game where he solidifies himself. And like I said, I'm going to say this too as well. For as much as I don't like the team, he is probably going to win the MVP this year, which I do like because that usually means that the MVP doesn't win the Super Bowl, which I'd rather see Josh Allen win the MVP than win the Super Bowl. That's just me though. But I just look at them and I'm like, who's better than them? And all at the same time too, I also saw some Bills fans today. Well, that's the other reason too why I wanted the Green Bay to win this game was because more than anything that pissed me off Monday night was the fact that Bills fans were taking more enjoyment in beating us and us losing than Bears fans were. That's the one thing. So
us too, man.
Oh, I know you too, but you guys didn't like rub it in your face. I go on Twitter, they're like posting like post game clips and stuff. They're posting like the sports talk shows and stuff like that. And there was also apparently Bills fans getting Patriots fans in their DMs or mentions being like, yeah, the Patriots winning the division this year. And I literally wanted to be like, what Patriots fans claim that? Like we like you and I both know this is their division for the foreseeable future unless Allen gets hurt. But besides that, I'm just like, because Buffalo is also that team too where I'm like, okay, how can they possibly get better? And then they find a way to get better. Like I always said this year, they're going to lose one of Jordan Poyer or Dawson Knox. Knox already got extended. We'll see what happens with Poyer, but I think the better Poyer plays, he's potentially playing himself to a new contract somewhere else. But we'll see what happens.
We'll steal them.
I mean, all the power to you or the Patriots next year because they have a lot of cap money. Look it up. It's true. The only other thing I'll say about this game is that this is just a spot for them to truly show the casual fan out there because let's be honest, not everyone watches Sunday night. Well, more people watch. Like, everyone will get up for Sunday night football, but then there's people like in the 1 o'clock window, you get kind of lost in the shuffle. You go out there and you kick the shit out of Green Bay, a Green Bay team with Aaron Rodgers, a Green Bay team who I'm starting to think is like the 2019 Patriots, which I know people are starting to say, hey, Green Bay, it'd be better for you to not win the division going as a wild card. I just think that this is like, it's the same thing. You're just slowly watching something deteriorate. I think Green Bay is going to be Jordan Love's team next year. And for this game, the more I think about it, you know what? I'm there. I'm potentially going to be, as I grab my phone, because I have to do the fantasy football update, and it's charging, and all my USB ports are taken. What was I going to say? I'm actually eating dinner in Bills country this weekend, and I'll be there on Saturday, so I'll get a full-blown scope on how everything's going and how everything's shaking up in Bills Mafia for – and my report back to the podcast, we'll have to wait and see. But you know what? The more I think about this, give me the Bills big. Give me the Bills. I think this is going to be a game, too, where everyone's going to be super drunk going into the game as well. But before we get into the Monday night Halloween edition of Monday Night Football, Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, we have an update for YWC Football Talk. As we're about the halfway point through the season, slumber. I'm going to run through the standings first, and then I'm going to give this week's matchups. So in 10th place, unfortunately, is Matt Beast with a record of 2-5. Filling in the 9th and 8th spots at 2-5 records as well is Alex Lorenzo and Bobby Gross. Matt Lorenzo is in 7th with a record of 3-4. Joining Matt Lorenzo in 6th place with a record of 3-4 is yours truly. Joe Miller III, noted Bills fan, and 5th place at 4-3 In fourth place at 4-3 is Pat Lane. In third place at 4-3 as well is my co-host for the evening, Danny. So, Danny, you're doing good, as I do not play you this week. Chris Ramey is in second place at 5-2. And the man who covers fantasy football for a living, Andy McNamara, first place, 6-1. But here's the thing, though, throughout all these standings, the most points for scored has been Danny's team at 952 so far. It's just that Danny's lost a couple of tough matchups along the way.
And this week, I lost Breece Hall too, man.
Exactly. But this week, you're playing Joe Miller, so we'll see how that game goes. We got Matt Beast taking on Alex Lorenzo in the Basement Bowl. Andy McNamara playing Matt Lorenzo. Bobby playing Pat Lane. And I am taking on Chris Ramey this week, folks. That is your update for the YWC Football Talk Fantasy Football League. As I also check into some other scores and see that bets I would have made tonight would have hit, so that's a pain to me. And at the same time, too, the Toronto Raptors are currently up on 13 on the Sixers. As Pascal Siakam has a nice double-double going for him so far tonight.
That is, I need two maxi points right now, man. I'm praying for them, two.
At least at 28, that's not bad. And then, I need 30. Also, I don't know if I shared this to you the other night on another note. So you know I told you I did that Jason Tatum, Fred VanVleet parlay?
Yeah.
Freddie's hit by 0.5.
Jeez.
His over was 17.5. He hit 18 points. The Jason Tatum one's easy. He's a cash cow this year. Need I say more than Joe Burrow's going to go into Cleveland and just show? I just think this is a bad year for Cleveland. I think Cleveland had like their couple weeks where it was like, okay, hey, yeah, like maybe you'll do something. But I think the Jets game, but like I look at Cleveland, I look at them and I'm like, look at the Jets did to them. Look what the Patriots did to them. Bailey Zappe put 38 up on that team.
Yep.
Not
exciting at all. Cleveland should smoke them.
Really? Cleveland's going to smoke them?
Oh, I'm sorry. Since you should smoke them.
Yeah. I like Cincinnati -3.5. I think last Sunday against Atlanta was the true Cincinnati Bengals. I think we were just waiting for them to come out. I think they're going to – Cincinnati, I'm not saying they're going to be anything this year. I think they're going to prey on weaker teams, but they're going to lose to better teams.
And Jamar Chase is going again, so they're looking. They're starting to click now.
I get PTSD for him because in that Thursday night game against Miami, that fucking bozo couldn't run 5 more yards to get me a touchdown. I had everything else. I had Raheem Mostert and T. Higgins over. I literally needed him, and like and then they decide to go to Hayden Hurst on a third down goal line package.
He's forever good in my book after the LSU homecoming game, bro. Forever.
Oh, yeah, I remember the one. But that's just the life of gambling. My big thing, too, is week 5. I didn't tell any of you, but I hit a nice parlay where I took Houston +7, and I took the Jets money line against the Dolphins.
All because Dan you've been cashing on the Jets this year, man.
I've been cashing on the Jets. I've been cashing on some other stuff, too. Last weekend, I actually had a pretty good weekend. Friday night, I hit the NBA parlay. Saturday, I placed a bet I didn't tell anyone about, but in the Philadelphia Flyers. And then Sunday, I was at a bachelor party, and I didn't do anything in NFL. So me and the boys ripped to the Chino, and I killed the blackjack table. So
nice job.
I was up. It was just like $5 and $10 hands, but I went up like 50, 60 bucks, and then I just walked away and had a nice night.
There you go.
But yeah, exactly. Sometimes, you know what, folks? Sometimes the Chino cures all, and I'm going to say this about the casino. Play the tables. Do not play the slots. Slots, you will lose money. Play the slots or stay in the sports book. That's my advice. That's where I'll be this Saturday. If you want to come by and say hi, I'll be at Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino placing my wagers for this weekend. But yeah, for this game, I think this is just Joe Burrow in prime time. He's going to go out there and show out. I do like T. Higgins to score, though. I do like T. Higgins. I'm going to say that because I think like just from a value standpoint, you know, I feel like everyone's going to be on Jamar Chase and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I look at that and I'm like, you know what? Yeah, like pick logically. I also want to look at what the props are I want to look at the odds for tomorrow night before we get into anything else. As I have to scroll on.
By the way, about the Jets too. Fuck Elijah Moore, man. Fuck that guy. Like, how do you go and do that when your team is winning, bro? And just to throw a black cloud under the fucking Jets, man. I really can't stress enough how much that guy's a fucking jerk, bro, for doing that shit. But that's beside the point. I just wanted to get that on there.
If the Jets were 2-5 right now or 1-6, I'd understand.
Oh, absolutely.
But they're 5-2.
Yes. Just because you're not getting your targets, bro. Fuck that diva mentality, bro.
Yeah, like That's where I'm like, because you need players like that to produce. There's one player here for anytime touchdown for value for the Ravens that I like tomorrow night. I think you may have said it earlier, but Isaiah Likely, he's at plus 350.
Yeah, I like him. I do like him. Yeah, I mean, we should see a lot of points, bro. I'm telling you. I also like Kate Otten, like I said. I think he gets in there.
Plus 350. I'm looking at this right now, and I'm just like, damn, honestly, I wouldn't take Mike Evans. I would take Mike Evans over at 67.5 because you got to learn to fade the public, and the public is on Mike Evans under 67.5. I'm going to take his over. I don't want to take him to score because his scoring odds is only where is he? His scoring odds is plus 120.
Mm-hmm. It could be a Godwin game, honestly.
Chris Godwin receiving yards over 70.5 at minus 113. And then Chris Godwin to score at plus 172.
Yeah, it could be a Godwin game.
Yeah, I might take maybe for fun, I'll parlay Isaiah Likely with either Kate Otten or Chris Godwin.
That's a nice lotto.
Yeah, because if you want to play that
lotto. I think you have it with Andrews, though. I don't think you should get cute with it. I think Andrews is definitely probably going to score, bro.
Yeah. Because if you bet $15 on that was Julio Jones, but it's the same odds. It would pay you $240. I've been getting rinsed at FanDuel lately. If you want good books to use, I use ScoreBet and I use DraftKings. That's the other thing too with DraftKings. I'm going to say this: whenever DraftKings hands out a bonus, do not. That's why you quickly learn. Unless it's
fade the boost, people. It could be Steph Curry to make a three. He's not making it.
2 weeks ago, Justin Herbert, one plus touchdown, threw up a goose egg.
Yep.
Fade the boost no matter what. I'll take the super boosts because FanDuel hands them out all the time. Like they did.
No, they're terrible, bro. They're awful. There was one. What was it? It was the McCaffrey boost. You don't remember? Where they fumbled at the end and they scored
yes.
the final possession and they covered the spread because of it.
Oh, my God, I remember that.
Oh, FanDuel was going to pay out so much on that, bro. Everybody and their mother was on it, like plus 1,200, I believe, or some shit. And then that happens, and that was the last leg.
The super boosts I'm talking about is on the FanDuel Canada book, they'll do random shit sometimes, like they did it for the Raptors last week, where it's like spread the love, and the more people that bet it, the spread just keeps climbing and climbing and climbing. And
I know what you're talking about. Okay.
Yeah, it's like that shit. It's like they've done it before, where it's like Leafs to record a shot on net. Yeah, the only time I ever hit one of their combos was last year's the NHL playoffs. I know you don't like betting hockey, but I like betting hockey. It was Matthews and Tavares to both score in the same game, and I took it on a whim. They both fucking hit. The only other thing I'll say to a fan, the only thing I'll say is, and I've seen some people betting this, but I don't get it, betting both teams to complete the first pass of the game.
Yeah, no.
No. There's some stuff for me that I'm just not about. And at the same time, too, I know you don't want to talk about it, but baseball is almost done. But for all your betting needs, folks, if you want to get onto the other side of betting with hockey especially, follow me because I'm posting it. Locktober, we're in the final days. But the 12 days of betting is coming up soon, like the 12 days of Christmas. That's coming up in December. November, I got to think of something to do because the gimmicks are rolling. I'm going to say right now what I'm doing tomorrow night. I got some locks. I'm going to be doing four locks. We're going to be doing college football. We're going to be doing an NFL. We're going to be doing NBA and NHL. Four locks, not parlayed. Maybe I'll parlay them and be psycho, but we'll bet them individually, and maybe I'll just put the parlay odds in there in case you want to get really, really frisky. But anyway, folks, that's going to do it here. We're back. I'm back in the saddle. Danny, can you believe that I'm almost at episode 200?
I can't wait, brother. I can't wait. And one last shout out to Tyrese Maxey. Just cashed my bet for a lot of money. So shout out Tyrese Maxey.
That's some good shit. I got to figure out something big to do for episode 200 because I don't know. Hey, Raptors are up by 10, too, so I'm happy about that. Fred VanVleet, literally people were on him to get 15-plus points. Guy gets 15 right here. He's also got 6-8, so that's not a bad night. And Chris Boucher, 13 points off the bench. If you guys want a little cash cow on the side, you should take Chris Boucher more often. And also, too, the Raptors at plus money this year has paid out quite good. They've been underdogs their last two games, and they've won those last two games. I will look for tomorrow night for betting. Oh, I got one right here, actually. I like. But anyway, folks, 200's coming up. Next week, We got some big stuff in the works. So we'll be back next week for more YWC football talk. The NFL season is in full swing. The NFL season is rocking and rolling. Your boy's back. Have a good night, everybody. Go Pats.
I'm Jeff Woods, and I'm shining a light on music and the rock stars who make it.
He just was one of those people. He stood out.
He was a magic guy. He really was a magic guy. We all have force. He had the same amount of force as we all have.
This was before Led Zeppelin. Robert was full on. I mean, he was Led Zeppelin without the band behind him. He had the hair, the jeans, the whole thing, you know. And he was amazing.
The Records and Rockstars podcast, heard around the world and yours to hear wherever you get podcasts. All the episodes from JeffWoodsRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Logan Anderson, host of the Say the Damn Score podcast. On my show, I deep dive into the sports broadcasting business by, you guessed it, talking to sportscasters. The show has featured big names like Bob Costas, Kenny Albert, and Vern Lundquist, as well as many up-and-coming broadcasters who you may not know yet, but you will know soon. Whether you're looking for professional development as a sportscaster, different career paths, or if you just want to be entertained by hearing some of the best storytellers in the world tell their own stories, this podcast is for you. You can subscribe to the podcast on all major podcast platforms, or you can visit our website, saythedamnscore.com.